We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, it's Offsides with Mark and Diesel right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys on a Friday Eve edition of the show. Where are we? We are live on location at Ingles Markets in Traveler's Rest in advance of Furman football, in advance of Furman basketball. I am here to tell you what we are having a great time from now until 7 p.m. We hope you guys will, in fact, join us. Already people stopping by to say hello. We appreciate it greatly. Ingles, 1500 Gear Highway in Traveler's Rest, going on until 7 p.m. today here for the Ingles SoCon Conference. All right, joining us right now on the show is somebody I've known for quite a long time, is a hilarious writer for Fansided. You can follow him on Twitter at MCFansided. Michael Collins joins us right now from Atlanta. Michael, appreciate the time. Partner, how are you?
Hey, Mark, how are you doing? I'm great.
Fantastic, man, fantastic. So your school has offended quite a few people in our area here because of what became of Gunnar Stockton and South Carolina. It honestly offends me too, Michael, as a Gator fan. I didn't need Georgia landing that guy. What do you think Georgia acquired in Stockton's services?
I think Georgia acquired what's going to end up being probably the best quarterback to come around in college football for some time. He has all the tools as a dual threat quarterback, as a thrower, as a runner. He's going to push every quarterback on that roster this season. He may redshirt. Who knows? But I think JT Daniels needs to be looking over his shoulder. Right now, it's Daniels' job to lose, but I think that Vandegrift is going to be the guy.
You think he's going to be the guy in Georgia? So from people who have seen him, what kind of traits? What are we seeing from him thus far?
He's got the size and the strength. He's got good arm strength. He throws the ball accurately. He's not a running quarterback that sometimes throw the ball. He can get you either way. If you put pressure on him, he's got the ability to elude the rush, get outside, hit the edge and get some yards. If you drop back into coverage, he can use his size to go straight up the middle. And then if you load up the box, he can burn you throwing the ball down the field. So he's a guy that players and defenders are going to have to really game plan around. Defensive coordinators are going to have to really figure out how to stop him once he gets some game time in.
Where do you come out on the whole controversy surrounding when JT Daniels played last year? I realize that because of number of losses, Michael, Georgia finished higher than Florida in the overall rankings. My dad hated that, by the way. He's like, how does that happen when Florida beats Georgia? I think many people feel as though the outcome of Florida-Georgia, note the order of those two teams, Florida-Georgia, Michael, would have been different had JT been playing in that particular contest. Why wasn't he?
I wouldn't disagree. I think that it's probably a different outcome, certainly a lot closer outcome if JT Daniels is playing. I think it was just medical reasons, and I think it was the fact that he was still having fluid drained from his knees. There was a lot of things going on behind the scenes that they weren't talking about, and that's a Kirby Smart thing. He doesn't discuss a lot of medical issues that go on. And I think he wanted to make sure that, that the Bulldogs had who he thought was the best person to run the offense and give Georgia a chance to win that game. And at that time, he didn't feel it was JT Daniels. Now, that may have been wrong. It may have been right. I think Daniels proved through the end of the season in his games that he certainly has the stuff to lead the Bulldogs to beat just about anybody. Whether or not he would have been ready that week, it's anybody's guess. I've always been of the opinion that when you have a head coach who's successful and you have a head coach who has proven he knows how to win games, that you kind of defer to what his opinion is when it comes to things like this. And if he didn't feel like JT Daniels was ready, I think we need to trust Kirby Smart on that.
Speaking of Kirby Smart, I'm always surprised, Michael, how restless the natives are there at Georgia, honestly, because the alternative was Mark Richt, right? And you look at the recruiting year after year after year, I think to some degree Kirby Smart is still kind of growing into his role. That's the positive way to spin, that he's still kind of learning on the job to a degree. It's win now. You know, I keep hearing win now or else for Kirby Smart, and my take is, or else what? What better option do they have?
There is no better option, really. And I think what you hear is that rather vocal fringe that every fan base has. I think they all, when you get into programs that are supposed to win and win big and that are supposed to compete for national championships, whether it's Clemson, whether it's Georgia, whether it's Ohio State, whoever it may be, Alabama, you're going to have that we need to win now mentality coming from a very vocal section of the fan base. I think the majority of Georgia fans are very satisfied with Kirby Smart and satisfied with the direction of the program. Are there a few games that most fans feel that we could have, should have won? You know, starting with the national championship game against Alabama, the next year's SEC championship game? Yes, but you can't live in the past. The point is we were at a place, or Georgia was at a place, where many fans didn't expect him to be that quickly. And I think the biggest knock on Smart has been his handling of the quarterback situation. Some of it is warranted, some of it is not. Certainly, quarterback recruiting has taken a big boost under Kirby Smart and his staff, but possibly the handling, the management of how the quarterbacks are used and when they're used hasn't been optimal at times. But I don't think there's any better option, and I think the dissenters that you're hearing are just those kind of fringe fans that, you know, like, no, we want the championship now. We've waited long enough. If you can't win now, we're going to move on. And I think that's a problem across the country. I think it's becoming a little bit too pointed towards you've got 4 years to win it all, and if not, we're going to go elsewhere.
That's interesting. So what I find kind of curious, Michael, is the fact that as we kind of debate amongst ourselves how the landscape is going to change with the name, image, and likeness payments coming down the pike, I have heard really good arguments on both sides of this very point, that it's going to dramatically increase parity in college football because now it is going to be infinitely more valuable for a four-star quarterback on the bench at Georgia to go become the starter at Boise State, right? In terms of his bank account, in terms of his marketability, in terms of his financial value, right? I have heard other people say, no, it's just going to make the rich continue to get richer because Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, and the like will just be able to order from the buffet line whatever the heck they want. Where do you come out on this? Will name, image, and likeness be better or worse for parity in college football?
I don't think it's going to help parity. I don't think it's necessarily going to make the rich a lot richer, but I don't think it's going to help parity. I think, you know, programs like Georgia, they started last year, even before the legislation was passed. Georgia started allowing recruits to kind of develop their own branding, their own, like, icons and things that they were working with. And, you know, they weren't making money from it, but they were allowing them to kind of start down that path to use their marketability. And then this year, you know, as things progress, as the legislation is, you know, becomes more a part of the landscape and they start making money off it, you'll see more and more in that. And I think programs that have more money and more leeway to spend or had it in past years are going to be better prepared for this in getting players to teach them how to market themselves and show them what can be done. It's going to cause, like you said, some players are going to say, well, you know what, rather than sit on the bench here, I could go play elsewhere and be the starter and, you know, market my name, image, and likeness. But a lot of that is going to depend on who wants them and what's available at that time. So will there be some of that? Yeah, but there would have been some of that anyhow with the transfer portal. We've already seen that. Guys, it had nothing to do with whether they were going to make money now off their name and image. It had to do with, I want to start now so that I can get into the NFL.
Michael, I ran a poll on ESPN Upstate, and I asked people who is the third most popular college team here in this area. Okay? Obviously, you know the top two. Would it surprise you to know that Georgia was voted number three and that is part of the reason why I asked you to come on today? It surprised me. There is a good number of Auburn fans, Florida fans here, certainly Furman and Wofford fans at the FCS level. But when put to a vote with all of those other options there, the people of the Upstate said Georgia's the third most popular team right here in the Upstate of South Carolina. Surprised or not?
No, not surprised. Nationally, Georgia's brand is one of the three most popular brands in the country. So it doesn't surprise me that a neighboring state would have a large base of fans that would at least like Georgia or would, you know, vote them as a popular team. Georgia has always done a great job of marketing the school, the brand, the logos and things like that. They have, I think, what's probably one of the best, what I would call internal PR departments as far as getting the message about Georgia, not just football, about the university out there, which is why the jerseys and the, you know, the licensed materials sell so well on a national basis. And I think you would find too, if I ran a similar poll here, that Clemson would come out as one of the most popular teams around here, certainly above Georgia Tech or Georgia State.
Do you think where you are, Georgia won, right? Would it be Florida 2? Would it be Georgia Tech 2? Or would it be Clemson 2?
If you're talking about Metro Atlanta, I think it would be a very close between Clemson and Georgia Tech.
Okay.
I would kind of give the edge to Clemson, honestly. Wow. I see a lot of Clemson fans around here. In my neighborhood, there are a lot of Clemson fans. I think Georgia and Clemson flags are what I see flying in our neighborhood. More than anywhere else. The Georgia Tech fandom is there, and it's certainly gaining a little steam now under Jeff Collins. But I think, I have a friend who went to Georgia Tech, and she tells me on a regular basis when I ask her, you know, why don't I see more from the Georgia Tech fans? She goes, we're a weird fan base, man. So that's all she says.
Michael Collins covers college football and many other sports for Fansided, and you can follow him on Twitter at MCFansided. He's been coming on the show for years. Michael, thanks so much for the time today, man, and all the best to you and yours for a very happy and healthy 2021, all right?
Same to you. Good to be here.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Do appreciate that. What do you guys make of that? Via the text line 71307, starting your text with the word ESPN, and away you go. Georgia as the third most popular college team in the Upstate of South Carolina. You got a very clear number one, right? Then I think you have a very clear number two. I think it's probably 70-30, Clemson, South Carolina. But then is the gap between Clemson and South Carolina in terms of popularity here as wide as it is between the gap between South Carolina and Georgia? I was surprised when we ran that poll to learn that that George is actually the third most popular team in our area. But coming up next, I've been just picking up a vibe. There's a negative vibe between states that I want to get to the bottom of, all right? If you're from North Carolina, hide the women and children, because we're coming for you. Next, live on location, Ingalls Markets, 1500 Gear Highway, in beautiful Traveler's Rest, on a Chamber of Commerce day. We are Offsides, Mark and Diesel, special guests joining us on the flip side here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Offsides, Mark and Diesel live on location at Ingles Markets, 1500 Gear Highway in beautiful Travelers Rest on a Chamber of Commerce day. Of course, Ingles is your it is the Ingles SoCon Conference where Furman plays, and this coming Saturday, you'll be able to hear Furman against VMI. I feel bad for VMI. I feel bad for what's coming their way. It wasn't good for Western Carolina this last Saturday. Furman goes to VMI this Saturday. You can hear all of the action right here on ESPN Upstate. Coverage beginning at noon, kickoff at 1:30. Diesel and I have been having some fun with this. Diesel says, as a car, I'm a... you jerk. I'm a Prius, and Diesel is a Mack truck. To which I said, I'm much more a Camry, and you're a minivan. Then Alyssa confirmed that vote. We go to the text line. It's not going well for me here. Let's be serious, Mark. Diesel is a Hummer, and you're a smart car.
Damn.
I really hate you people sometimes. Torian, who's earned the right to host a segment of the show tomorrow, says, Mark, something about my bills, huh? Hashtag JJ Watch. But will tomorrow, I will have a confession. You earned the right, Torian. Torian earned the right with the very best trade offer for Deshaun Watson. Rob, Torian offered me for Deshaun Watson, and Diesel became Karen Pegula, the owner of the Bills.
Yep.
And he did not fire Torian for this offer. The offer was Josh Allen, a first and second, and cornerback Teron Johnson. And of all the offers we got, that is the one I accepted because I am getting an MVP candidate. I do believe him to be slightly inferior to Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
But if I'm giving up a 10, I'm getting another.
Wait. You said that like that's a discussion. Like, I love Josh Allen. What he did this year was balling.
Talk to the Bills people.
No. That's fine. Yeah. Talk to anybody who's not the Bills people. And I love the Bills people. I made friends with the Bills people. In fact, I told them before this season started that if I made the same bet Josh Allen did, if the Bills were going to win the Super Bowl, I would show up at one of their parties next year because apparently they throw ragers here in the upstate to the Bills fans. I would show up and I would let them pick. They could either put me through a table or I would do what they call a dunkaroo, which I learned this year. They hold you upside down. They put you, submerge your entire head into a beer bucket filled with ice water. Then they pull you out after 15 seconds and you immediately shotgun a beer. I told them their pick of which one of those I did. I didn't think the Bills were going to get there, and obviously we saw why. It was just a buzzsaw with Tom Brady. I love Josh Allen, and I love the Bills. They're going to be in the AFC Championship game next year, but Deshaun Watson is a proven better commodity. I don't think that's even anything else. Folks not wearing red, white, and blue would not
argue
with.
I agree with you. People really latch on to the win-loss. They really do. Fair or not, they really do.
Sure.
Deshaun Watson is the second highest-rated quarterback, career quarterback rating in the history of everybody playing football right now.
And the argument there is going to be the dude's 25. You know what I mean? Like, he's been in late. But the fact that he got there in just a couple of years is what's really impressive. And, by the way, had to do it in Bill O'Brien's offense. And of all the things you and I have squabbled on over the radio, the one thing I don't think I've ever felt more strongly in agreement with you has been the fact that Bill O'Brien was an absolute anchor on what should have been a really good Texas team. Now, we're finding out that the Texans front office is a joke. This Jack Easterby snake oil salesman is absolutely tanking that team, and that is 100% the reason that I am fully in the back pocket of Sean Watson, saying not only does he not only should he demand a trade, not only is he right in doing so, but to do anything but trade him is a waste of career because they're not going anywhere under the administration they've got in place. And it's obvious at this point.
I got news for you. They're not trading him. They're not trading him. You know, and I don't know. I don't know, Rob, if you saw, but like, now, you know, the news that we kind of broke on the show, I didn't know we were breaking it, you know, the other day with the three teams. With the three teams,
I was going to ask you if you had said that publicly yet or not.
I didn't know I was breaking it.
I really thought that that was, I mean, those were the four teams I thought. We've been talking about those. You and I have both been talking about those four teams.
Yeah. So anyway, now people have really picked up on it, and now everybody's saying it seems as though the three teams that Deshaun's talking about are the Jets, the Dolphins, and who else?
Mark.
The Jets, the Dolphins, and the
Mark,
Panthers.
Mark, good Lord, man. Panthers. What happened to you right now?
The Jets, the Dolphins, and the Panthers. You know why? I don't think they have a shot to get him. I don't think they have a shot to get him. I really don't.
I don't think the Texans want to trade Deshaun. I think they would. But here's the thing. It's too late, right? It's too late. This is you came home, you found your girl in bed with another dude, and she knocks on the door the next day and goes, I will give you anything you want. I'll let you do that thing you've been asking me to do that I've been telling you know about. We can go to Hooters every night. I'll do anything you want to take you back. But the reality is you've already got the image of what she did in your head. There is no coming back from that because the trust is completely and entirely broken. All the Texans had to do was when they were hiring a GM and hiring a new coach was talk to Deshaun and say, what direction do you want to go? And there's a lot of people, they've been calling on my show, yo, the players don't get to make those decisions. They're just players. Cool, you can believe that. But look what's happening with Russell Wilson right now. Look what's happening with Deshaun. It's a new era. You don't have to like it, but you do have to evolve to succeed it. That is what we have seen Tom Brady do. That's what Nick Saban's doing in college, right? Why is Saban still on top of the game? Because as college football's evolved, Nick Saban's evolved with it and just learned how to be the best. The players have power now. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. They have it. All they had to do was be on the horn with Deshaun and go, all right, we're not going to let you make the decision. You can be in the room with us while we're talking about it. You can be putting your input down. They didn't do it. Now he wants out, and there is no salvaging that relationship. So the question now to you, Cal McNair, Bob McNair, Nick Cesario, Jack Easterby, now the question is, all right, you have two options. You don't trade Deshaun. He sits at home on his couch. You go 1-15 next year, 2-14. Maybe you trade up and get your rookie quarterback. But cool, now you got two quarterbacks that you're still paying because you still got to figure out how to work all that out. Or you can go, Carolina's coming at me with two first-rounders, a salvageable quarterback who can carry the team for 1 year in Teddy Bridgewater. What's the defensive lineman name? Now I'm looking at Brian. Yep, give you Burks. And I would even go so far as to give you offensive player. So you're telling me there's more. It is more about principle to you that you would go 1-15 for 2 years with Deshaun on the bench than get two first rounders, a second rounder, an offensive player, and a defensive Pro Bowler. You're crazy, dude. You're committed to losing.
Well, here's where the analogy of the girlfriend and favors falls flat. That girlfriend or wife has the free will to leave the relationship.
Sure.
Deshaun Watson does not. And as a matter of fact, Rob, if they wanted to, they can keep him for 7 years. Four in the deal, three franchise tender years. They can keep him for 7 years. And I'm guessing if they want to truly play hardball, that Deshaun Watson at some point is going to decide to play.
Maybe.
Because he wants the money and because he doesn't want his career to go down the drain.
Maybe.
You know?
And there's
7 a
chance.
Years.
But I think you are at that point. You're gambling. Yeah, you're gambling that Deshaun will go after a year. Okay, I am wasting my prime, right? Yeah. I hate it here. This team sucks. Everybody here sucks. But I am wasting my prime. Let me at least go earn the next contract somewhere else. But if you're the Texans, if you do that, I still think you are committing to mediocrity for the better part of that tenure if he decides to stand on principle, right? Everybody's going, the principle is important. And I get it. I have also held out in things that have damaged me in order to prove a point. You and I have both done that. It kind of comes with the territory of this gig. But how long do you commit to damaging yourself to prove a point instead of, like, this is a boss firing you or this is a boss disciplining you for something you don't hate, and you're going, I don't accept your discipline, so I'm not going to get paid. I'm not going to quit, but I'm not going to get paid for a few weeks. And then the boss comes to you and goes, hey, dude, better deal. I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a $5,000 bonus if you'll just sit out for 4 days and say I'm suspended and
is
eat
that
the
all
punishment.
It takes? I'll do that tomorrow.
Dude,
is
we
that
work in radio, bro. We would take it for a dinner gift card, let's be honest.
That was the nicest. We got gift cards for Christmas.
Yeah,
that
I loved
the,
it.
That was the nicest.
And I used both of them in a week.
That was the
Wait, you guys got gift cards for Christmas?
No, what are you talking about, Diesel?
What the heck was
not.
I?
They
absolutely
were for car not. Washes.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Oh, okay.
Got nothing of the sort. All right, folks. Coming up next on the show, there is, I'm detecting slight beef here, and we need to get to the bottom of it. Okay? It is the Battle of the Carolinas, and it's next right here on Offsides, live on location, Ingles Markets, 1500 Gear Highway in beautiful Travelers Rest, right here on ESPN Upstate. It is Offsides, Mark and Diesel and Rob Brown. Rolling on until 7 p.m. live on location, 1500 Gear Highway in beautiful Travelers Rest. If you're by the area, swing on by, say hi. We both would love to have the chance to meet you. I know a lot of you guys are getting off at 5. Check out the text line where a texter says, you leave her to do the thing she always says no to, and you go to Hooters every night. That cannot be a negotiating tactic. Oh, man. Great to have you guys with us. Always do appreciate it very, 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 very much. Of course, we are here on behalf of Furman. And I think, you know, we were dishing on this a little bit. You know how Georgia was voted the third most popular college team in the area. I think that number three role is very, very vulnerable. I think Furman could rise up and seize that. And I think Furman has a golden opportunity to be viewed as Greenville's team. And when I say Greenville's team, I'm incorporating Travelers Rest into that as well. I want to switch gears now to this. And I want your thought on this, all right? I've been in North Carolina, the state of North Carolina, a couple of times in the last 3 or 4 weeks. All right, I've been in the state. There is a vibe there, and I was trying to make sure that I felt that I was picking up the right vibe. There is a vibe from North Carolina to South Carolina, and the vibe is this. They think they're better than you. That's the vibe, okay? That's 100% the vibe. When you go there, you know, when you say you're from South Carolina, you get like the little wince, you know? You get like the little pained expression on the face. I notice just when you cross over the state line from South Carolina to North Carolina, for whatever reason, the landscaping looks a little better, and the paving on the roads is all like pristine. Once you get from South Carolina to North Carolina.
I like that you say that and then immediately start listing things that are better.
No, I'm just – when you make the drive, Rob, from South Carolina over to North Carolina, these are just things that you notice. But as a South Carolinian now myself, I take offense to this feeling. And and I'm able to detect this, ladies and gentlemen, because it was the same darn feeling that I picked up when I was working in Houston – and all the feeling of Houstonians about people from Dallas. Then you go to Dallas. Oh, you're from Houston, huh? It's the same thing. Same thing, North Carolina to South Carolina. Dallas views themselves as bougie, as bon vivants, as white collar. And they look down, they turn their nose up on Houstonians. Is it not the same thing that I'm experiencing between North Carolina and South Carolina? Well, yes, it is. And it bothers me. I'm just going to be real with you. It bothers me. It's bothered me, that feeling, that vibe, each of the last two times I've been there. So we've got a few different layers of this. Ladies and gentlemen of the Upstate, do the people of North Carolina have a point? Because I would say that I'm damn proud to be a part. If they're white collar and this state is blue collar, I'm damn proud to be a part, you know, of the blue-collar state, Diesel.
Mark, I am a North Carolina native, and I can confirm that feeling is 100% true.
Why?
100% true.
Because
outside of the state of South Carolina think of when they think of South Carolina? Filthy-ass Myrtle Beach. That is where South Carolina, right or wrong, true or not, gets its entire reputation from the filthiness of Myrtle Beach.
Okay, well, have you been to Myrtle Beach since you've been here?
I have not been to Myrtle Beach.
I have not been to Myrtle Beach. And because of what everyone says about it, I have no interest in going there.
I haven't been to Myrtle Beach, and because of what everybody says about it, I absolutely cannot wait to go see it.
But it's been so high on your priority list that in a year of being here, you have yet to do so.
Right, but it's not on my – now, I will disagree with Diesel on this, because when I got the call to come up here, my thought was Charleston. I think Charleston is one of the three greatest cities in America. I do. I think it's incredible. I knew about the upstate. My mom lived in Asheville, North Carolina. So I've actually done a lot of back and forth between North and South Carolina. And it kind of reminds me of the Alabama-Florida rivalry from where I'm from in the Panhandle. The only difference is that, you know, Florida people, when they hear somebody's from Alabama, they think we're better than you. And the only reason they think that, Mark, is because they are. But in coming here, to me, it's kind of the same thing in that it's the reason is North Carolina is just a more trendy contemporary state.
It's bougie
just,
state.
Right? No,
that's
not
the word. That's now, the word. The word is bougie.
Here's where this conflict comes from. I'm about to play psychiatrist and fix all this. I'm the relationship counselor of the Carolinas.
Okay.
Now.
I need to hold you there.
I need to hold you
because Guy in Greenville wants to chime in on this right now. Guy, thanks so much. You're on with Mark Diesel and Rob Brown. Thanks for the call, Guy. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you. No, I'm also not from South Carolina, but when I first came down here, I was told about not only North Carolina, but Georgia, how South Carolina is between the two, and it's like a step back. And again, having been here long enough, I mean, I know South Carolina, and it's wonderful. But if you look at the last election, wasn't South Carolina the only red state between two blue states?
It was.
Okay, so the whole progressive thing, and then again, it's your take on progressive. But when I first came down here, ironically, my family that I married into goes to Myrtle Beach. Well, having been here one time before I met them, I went to Edisto. And I took them to Edisto, and these people from South Carolina did not even know Edisto, and we switched everything to Edisto. So that's another thing. If you're from South Carolina, you know Edisto. Now, of course, it's built up, and now everybody knows about it. But, again, the South Carolina is different than Georgia and North Carolina. Whether you want to make it good or bad is up to you, but it's different.
Okay.
And again,
when North Carolina people turn their nose up on the Palmetto State guy, do they have a point?
No.
No point whatsoever. Okay. Guy, thanks so much for the phone call, man. Do appreciate it. Want your thoughts on this at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP. ESPN is the number. It's kind of that scent in the air of like haughtiness of that. Oh, you're from that Carolina.
Mark, you said it yourself. North Carolina is a more attractive state. You said it yourself.
Wait.
You drive across the state line.
Yeah.
And North Carolina, just all of a sudden, there's a line across the road. It says over here on this side, we take care of our highway. We have nice wildflowers on both sides of the road.
That's true.
We have good-looking signs that aren't full of shotgun holes. But, man, you cross over. You cross over at, you know, mile marker 110 on I-85. All of a sudden, you start hitting potholes. I mean, don't even get me started on what the road conditions are like in Spartanburg County right now. It's atrocious. Okay. So there is absolutely a point there. And North Carolina has this little thing called the Research Triangle, where there's all kinds of big business and money and medical research and all that stuff going on right there in the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area. What does South Carolina have? Tell me, what does South Carolina have? A lot of manufacturing in Greenville. Woo!
Yeah,
okay. We make BMWs here.
Wow.
Oh, my God,
wow.
Diesel. Oh, my God. Send all hate mail
so
courtesy
now,
of Diesel.
Now we have guy who has lived in South Carolina for how long, Diesel? 15 years.
Yeah, and Edisto is gorgeous. He is absolutely right. Edisto is
now,
gorgeous.
Now he is completely trashing the beautiful Palmetto State right here on the show. Look, if these were homes, North Carolina would be the brand new home. Made with particle board, but the brand new home. Our home here in South Carolina has character. Yeah, it's old. Okay? Yeah, the grout has worn out just a little bit, but it's got character, by golly, and I am proud of this character.
Weren't you the guy just a couple of months ago in the heat of election season that was like, we need unity, left and right, red and blue, we need to come together. That's all this is, man.
That was just for the election.
Oh, that was just for the election. For the election. Got it. Now we're right back to it. It's all it is. North Carolina is a lot more contemporary. It's got a lot more young people that are forward-thinking. South Carolina is very conservative, laid back. It likes the way things are, and it doesn't like to change. Neither one of those viewpoints is wrong, but we've created this atmosphere where if somebody doesn't think like you, you have to dislike him and look down on him. And it's as much from the North Carolina side, but, you know, you see the South Carolina people, and they look at Asheville, all the hipsters and the losers up there. And then the Asheville folks are looking down and going, oh, the rednecks and backwood folks down in South Carolina. Dude, if everybody would just relax and realize, hey, just live where you want to live, like what you want to like. I've been to both. I love them both. I love North Carolina and South Carolina. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why I'm better than the other two people I'm talking to right now.
Is that so? Is that so? We've established quite a lot here in this segment, ladies
you
and gentlemen.
You ass kiss.
It, really?
Also, my mother just said Diesel would have a stroke driving in Louisiana. So you may all just come together to hate on Louisiana.
No, listen. I've made the trek from South Carolina and Florida to Houston, Texas via vehicle a number of times. And I'm here to tell you, bar none, you cross over the state line into Louisiana, that is some of the most stressful driving you've ever had in your life, okay? They've got bridges there that send you right up to heaven, okay? I'm not lying to you. Right up to heaven. The whole drive is peachy until you get to Louisiana. Then you're on like this hour-long bridge over a swamp that there's always a traffic jam on. You're just stuck over a swamp. It is the most stressful drive you've ever had in your life.
See, so, I'm here to bring everybody together.
There you go. There you go. So, folks, on this very topic, I want to do North Carolina, South Carolina on three different issues, all right? Three different issues that immediately come to mind for me. But before we get to that, we do have some breaking news to share with you here. Per sources, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson met with new Texans head coach David Culley last Friday. In that meeting, Watson reiterated that he wants to be traded and told Culley that he has no intention of playing for the Texans again. No change from Watson's end. He remains dug in. I think Deshaun Watson, paraphrasing today, tweeted, loyalty is everything, that is all, something to that effect. And the Texans still have every right to say, Tough. You signed the deal. Tough. There is literally nothing you can do. We control your fate here in the National Football League. The Texans, say what you will, they have the right to do just that. They have the right to get nothing from them. They have the right to go 1-15 and therefore get the next quarterback of the Houston Texans. But they have the right not to grant Deshaun Watson his wish. It is what it is, man. And it's the weirdest thing that people can't seem to understand that. All right. Coming up next on the show, what is the biggest dump you've ever seen a game in? We'll ask that question of you guys when Offsides. Rob Brown, Mark Ryan, Diesel, live on location from Ingles Markets and Traveler's Rest, right here on ESPN Upstate. All right, it is. Offsides, Mark and Diesel right here on ESPN Upstate, rolling on a Friday Eve edition of the show. Let's see what you guys are saying. Historically, North Carolina did have more shine than us, but over the last decade, we have grown much faster than them. Charleston and Greenville have come up. I would agree with that completely. Ask Diesel where everyone wants to live. It's not North Carolina or Georgia. Yeah, how do you answer that, Diesel?
Does this guy have population metrics in front of him, or is he just making this up?
He's making it up.
Yeah, okay.
Let's be honest.
That's what
he's
I thought.
He's making it up. Panda says, love that attitude from the Crappalachian State alum.
Kobe.
There you go. Let's see. The hipsters, a texter says, would come down to South Carolina, and we'd welcome them and have a beer. If we wore a Trump hat up there, they'd cry into their winter sour local. Ouch. Once you hit Shreveport, Louisiana, they might as well put you... once you hit Shreveport, Louisiana, they might as well put you in the concussion protocol. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth?
Easy.
Hey, ask Diesel why all blue states are frauds. Ouch, now we're getting political. Now we're getting political.
You knew this was going to happen, right?
Well, those two states exist.
I wasn't trying to go down.
The,
I know
the states exist, so they're not really frauds as states. I don't know what he means.
The very first call you took was a guy going red state in between two blue states. Like that's where people are going to go. It was everything in my power was like, all right, how do we get away from that? Because I knew that's it, and I hate to say, that's exactly why we're having this. That's what it is. It really is. It really is.
Well, at 5:40, I've got much more on that to get to. But just because every discussion on this goes, it has about 8 minutes before it goes right down the toilet. So what you do as a host is you shift to something else, and then you come back to it, and it resets out of the toilet, right? So we will come back to that at 5:40. Then at 6 o'clock this evening, at 6 o'clock, we are going to be joined here on the show by Tim Johnson, assistant basketball coach of Furman. So we look forward to that coming up at 6 p.m. this evening as well. Gentlemen, the biggest dump you've ever attended a game at was where?
Yeah, you had to word that question really carefully, didn't you?
Did you catch it the last time when he goes, the biggest dump, blank? And I'm like, oh, where are we going here?
It's one of those where you immediately try to catch yourself, right? So the biggest dump you've ever attended a game at, any level, where was it? Diesel and I were talking about the oldest stadiums in the country the other day, and one of them was Franklin Field, where Penn plays. And I was saying to Diesel, Ben Franklin played there. That's why it was called Franklin Field, right? So, but sometimes the older stadiums really have carte blanche. Sometimes they really, really have character. Sometimes you can be really proud of that fact. But I'm telling you, I'm curious, you guys, via the text line 71307, and I'm worried too, Rob, about where this is going to go. Because, you know, the South Carolina contingent is going to say what? The Clemson contingent is going to say what? I want you to remove the Palmetto hate just for a minute, if at all possible, and just tell me your God's honest truth, okay? The worst stadium experience, the biggest dump you've ever attended a game at, right? Where was it? What stadium was it? The text line is there for you at 71307. And you can give us a call at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to join us right here on the show today. Panda says on the text line, the biggest dump had to be the Greenville Municipal Stadium before they built Floor Field. That stadium screamed nothing but what can Brown do for you? Winner! Winner, Panda! Winner, the top five at five is coming your way next, right here on Offsides. Mark, Rob, Diesel, ESPN Upstate.